releasing the stress. We were born to shine.
It's Evan Carmichael, and you're listening to Sade Champagne on Grind Hard Radio.
I love it. I love your energy and the questions, and keep going at it. I think you got a nice show on your hands here. So everybody listening, go type in Sade Champagne Show into iTunes and give it a 5-star review.
Good evening, everyone. That was Jake Miller with Overnight. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 73 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search The Sade Champagne Show, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks for tuning in all around the globe. I am so thankful for everyone's support. You have been with me from the beginning. Some of you even since my days on MySpace. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song, and to Scott Swish for mixing it. If this is your first time listening, I am a professional musician. musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced over 300 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power of a Dream tour and my Hold On, Overcome solo tour. I love mentoring, coaching, authentically being myself, and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold in others. Join us with special guest, Myshawn Young. She's always known that music is her passion, but it wasn't until Myshawn was hand-selected by Pastor Marvin L. Winans to sing background for him that she realized her purpose can also be her career. She has traveled extensively singing background for Pastor Winans and was honored to sing a duet with him at the grand opening of Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. In 2011, Myshawn released her debut album, Possessing the Promise, and it was a big hit. Several songs from this project climbed charts in the U.S. and U.K. Myshawn has opened for Grammy Award winner CeCe Winans, renowned jazz trumpeter T.L. Williams, and many others. Myshawn's single, Always Remember, was ranked number one in the U.K. soul and jazz charts of Best Independent Songs. Currently, many songs from this project still receive frequent airplay in Switzerland, Africa, and London. We also have a brand new Mind Right, Game Tight segment with Michelle Morgan and a new Empowering Dreamers segment with Ramsey J. Jr. I'm always booking new shows and performances. I love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, my tours, or any of my award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. I always have exciting and fun things going on. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos and supporting all my new music. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs and going back into the recording studio soon with my music producers, The Quakes. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out my official website, IamSadeChampagne.com. IamSadeChampagne.com. I'm live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Sade Champagne Show or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who you tweet me, you Facebook me, you Instagram me, you YouTube me, you email me. Your support amazes me, and I'm forever grateful unto you. You're listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Our special guest is on the line. Myshawn Young has been singing and writing since the age of 12. She's always known that music is her passion, but it wasn't until Myshawn was hand-selected by Pastor Marvin L. Winans to sing background for him that she realized her purpose can also be her career. She has traveled extensively singing background to Pastor Winans and was honored to sing a duet with him at the grand opening of Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. This ignited a fire in Myshawn, and she decided to pursue her dreams. In 2011, Myshawn released her debut album, Possessing, and it was a hit for Grammy Award winner CeCe Winans, renowned jazz trumpeter T.L. Williams, and many others. Michonne's single, Always Remember, was ranked number one in the Billboard and Jazz Chart of Best Independent Songs. Currently, many songs from this project still receive frequent airplay in Switzerland, and London. Please welcome Myshawn Young. Hi, Myshawn. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. We are so glad to have you as a special guest on Season 4, Episode 73 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio Network.
Oh, I'm honored to be here, and thank you for having me.
So, Myshawn, please tell us about when you first fell in love with music, and when did you know that you wanted this to be your life?
You know, I first fell in love with music as a very young child. I had a dad who had a DJ gig, I guess, or several DJ gigs in the evening. So he was a lover of music, and my mother played for our church. So I had it from both ends of the spectrum, and I knew then hearing all kinds of gospel and then all kinds of other music as well, that music was just in my blood. It was always in the house. So I think I've always had a love for music, but it wasn't until I think around 11 or 12, my dad purchased my first project, my first CD rather, which was Songs in the Key of Life from Stevie Wonder. And I just fell in love with lyrics. And, oh, my gosh, well, you know, there's no other genius, I think, musically than Stevie Wonder. So just fell in love with just his lyrical content and just the different styles of music that he had on that project. And it just think it was then that I started writing a lot. And I was writing really mature lyrics at such a young age. And it was my dad, I think, that said, you know, you've got something in you. And at some point, you're going to be doing something musically. I didn't realize it would be a little later in life, but after experiencing so much of life, I think it was in me always. It never left. And I decided to just go for it.
Definitely. What has been one of your most exciting experiences so far in your career?
Wow, I think my most exciting probably was when I was able to tour with Pastor Marvin Winans, having listened to him growing up. My mother was a fan of the Winans, and just being able to tour and travel with him and learn so much from him, that certainly has been one of the highlights of my professional career. And performing in London for the first time would have to be a close second.
Wow, that's incredible. And, Michonne, what has been one of the biggest challenges you faced so far in your career, and how did you overcome it?
I think the biggest challenge is, as an independent artist, you know, you don't have a lot of the inside connections, and you're doing so much on your own. It's a double-edged sword. On one hand, you don't have, you know, label execs telling you what you can and can't do or what songs you can and can't push. So that's the good thing about it. But the downside of that is that you've got to do so much on your own. But you learn. You learn so much about the business and having to get out there and knock on doors and push your music, you know, in front of people. That was tough for me because I'm a little – I won't say introverted, but there's a little shyness there. So having to be really actively involved in pushing yourself and selling your music, you know, has been the biggest challenge for me.
Right. A lot of people are shocked to find that many people in the public eye like us tend to be on the shyer side, you know, and they think that just because we are, you know, doing things that, you know, that everyone can enjoy, like you said, with your creativity, they automatically think that means that we all have personalities and are, you know, and not to say that we don't, but, you know, it's like a side of who the person is. It's not generally all the time. Plenty of
moments Right, exactly.
And then people are shocked.
Yeah, they're really shocked to find out, wow, you know, you're kind of shy a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, you know, what you see on stage there is, I'm not going to say it's a different person, but there's a freedom that I feel on stage, expressing it through my music, and I'm just a little free on stage. And people tend to, I think you're absolutely right, people tend to think that what they see on stage is what you see every day. And for me, I'm a simple person. I like to sit back and relax in jeans and a T-shirt and no makeup.
Yep.
And, you know, so I'm just an everyday person. But when people see all of that on stage, they just think that that's who you are every day.
Right. So you're so exactly right, because we don't realize the dynamics to human beings. You know, people are multifaceted, and that's why a lot of times our lives are so simple, because we get all that excitement in our career and in the things that we do. So when we're in our everyday lives, we're just like, I just want to relax. I want to take it easy, enjoy nature. You know.
Right.
So it's just really funny.
It's funny you say that. I'm in Florida now. I had a performance over the weekend, and so I'm still in Florida until tomorrow. And it's so funny when people, a lot of the folks at the performance, I would just hang around the pool during the day before the performance. I just kind of hung out and had on my hat to the back and just, you know, just casual clothes. And when people met me that evening, they were like, wait a minute, that was you that was just hanging out there with us, you know? I'm like, yeah. But, yeah, it is so funny. It's so funny when what they see, and then when they actually get a chance to talk to you, they're like, I was just expecting, you know, you to just be really, really talkative and like, no, I hope that's okay. I hope you still like my music, though.
Yeah, you're like, I like to listen, too, and just enjoy people's company and just be in the moment, you know? So I definitely understand that, Michonne. A lot of gospel music. Did you ever feel pressure to sing that type of music professionally? And what are some words of encouragement that you would give to other artists who may be wanting to branch out?
I don't necessarily feel the pressure. I guess I feel an obligation. It's mm-hmm. not so much as the pressure to do gospel, but I feel as though gospel is so much a part of who I am as a person that I feel an mm-hmm. obligation whenever I perform. I always do go back to my gospel roots, and I always pull out some songs that expresses my spirituality because that's a big part of who I am. So I don't know that it's the pressure. More for me, it's an obligation and a commitment that I made to God as I started this journey, that I'd never forget him and I'd never forget talking about him as I perform and ultimately hopefully draw people to him, you know, through the love of music and through what I say as I perform. And then secondly, in terms of what I would say to others, just keep going. I say that so much, and it sounds so cliche-ish, but man, is it true. You know, when you're pursuing something, whether it's a passion, a hobby, when it's something that's in your heart, and you give your all, mm-hmm. It's not always going to be easy. You know, the journey has not always been easy, and there's still times. You know, I'm still trying to get there. So there's a struggle every day to keep going and to keep pushing and to keep moving, to not give up. So you have to motivate yourself, because there are many times when you won't have people to be your cheerleaders. So you have to learn how to be your biggest cheerleader and your biggest supporter. And I guess that's the best advice I can give, is to block out the distractions and the voices mm-hmm. around you that can sometimes deter you from moving forward or tell you, well, you know, maybe you should try something different. No, if it's there, if it's in your heart, and you're giving it all you've got, and you know that it's something that comes relatively easy to you and your passion and your love, keep going, keep at it, and mm-hmm. give 110% mm-hmm. each and every time.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with you, Michonne. And I love what you said about being self-motivated and learning how to motivate yourself, because you're right. There's many times in life that, you know, we could all be going through different challenges, and people have to know how to motivate themselves and still stay encouraged, because you can have someone cheering you on and there with you every single day throughout the way. And still we have to be the ones to say yes to that, you know what I mean, and keep going, like yeah. you said, and keep persevering. And it's funny, because that's something you can't teach people. We can talk about it all day long, but like you said, they have to actually, when everything hits the fan and when they're in the fire, is when then those muscles have to be worked, you know.
Right. You're absolutely right. I worked in corporate America for years as a human resources professional, and corporate America, you have your mission statements, you have, you know, there's things you have to follow and do. And I applied those same principles to my entertainment life. You know, I put a mission statement and vision statement to what I was doing. What is this about? What does it mean to me? What do I want it to mean to others? I applied those principles every day. I put an action plan together. This is your business, you know, and you've got to treat it as such every day. But those principles I learned while I was in corporate America, I apply them every day. You know, the small team I have, we each have, mm-hmm. We have standing meetings. You know, there's just things that you have to do in order for you to be successful in this. You've got to really understand the business and learn the business as well. You know, you can't mm-hmm. treat it like a hobby if you're serious about moving into this competitive field. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to get down to business and understand it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So you've had a lot of success on the music charts in the U.S., U.K., and other countries. What does it feel like to know that your music is reaching people?
It's so humbling. Gosh, I can't even begin to tell you what that feels like to get emails and you know, just inbox messages from people around the globe. And when I went to London for the first time, I was so afraid of what I think was fear of the unknown. You know, I'd never been, and I went by myself. My team had other commitments, so I had to go by myself. And that was such a learning experience for me, and so humbling to go over and feel the warmth and love and appreciation of your music. And I performed at Cadogan Hall in London. And I closed my eyes at the last song and opened my eyes to people that were standing, and I bawled on stage. I felt foolish afterwards, but I just couldn't believe that a little girl, you know, from Gary, Indiana, by way of Detroit, Michigan, was in another country with people that don't necessarily look like me, that were standing and appreciating my music. So it's humbling. It's still surreal. But I'm thankful, honestly, every day that others are abroad are appreciating my music.
Wow, that's incredible, Mashawn. What is your dream place to visit and tour one day?
You
can have more than one.
I would. Oh, wow. I would love to go to Africa. I've heard some really great things about Africa, and a lot of performers just talk about the wonderful experiences. And for me, from just a cultural perspective as well, I think that would be awesome to be able to go and to take my son. I have one son, and I've always told him that one day you and I are going to go visit. We're going to go. And I've been saying that since he was 8 years old, and he's now much older, but that's something that I would love to do and love to experience.
And I believe you will one day. You know, just like you said, you've been able to experience so much in your life that way beyond your wildest imaginations and dreams. And I believe you will be able to travel to Africa and other countries that you haven't been to before to vacation and tour.
I received that. Thank you.
Tell us how you've discovered your purpose and what that means to you. And also, what are some words of encouragement that you would give to other people who want to discover their passions and who want to move forward in their destiny?
Oh, I think that, when I discovered that this was something that was a purpose, I think, is when I started writing. I used to just write poems, I think, and friends and so forth would hear them, and I would just put melodies behind them, and they would, some of my friends, you know, would take some of these poems and these lyrics, and they would use them as inspirational pieces for them, and this is, you know, my teenage years, and I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. You know, teenagers, we don't really do that as teenagers, you know, and I started having some feeling then that there was something that was interesting about the way I crafted words and put things together lyrically, and melodies were always in my head. I could just create a song within minutes with full background, with everything, and I thought that was kind of interesting to be so young to do that. But I think it wasn't until I started experiencing life, the good, bad, and indifferent, and I started writing about it, and then just performing pieces, and people would come up to tell me how this inspired them, or whether it was a relationship song, how this, you know, motivated couples to stay together, you know, that I realized there was a deeper purpose than just singing, that there was something meaningful and inspirational behind what I was doing. And that's when I started thinking, this is purpose driven. This is not just a hobby. I think this is a calling, if you will, and that's when I took it more seriously. In terms of, again, what to tell others and how to and what to tell others in pursuing, love what you do, and do what you love and give it 110% all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And be kind to people on the journey. You know, sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you're
mm-hmm.
going through this journey, it's stressful. It's stressful, and you sometimes can take your stress out on, instead of enjoying the journey, you make the journey so stressful that you don't appreciate it. You know, even the bad times, I found good in that. So celebrate the
mm-hmm.
journey. Don't just say, I got to get there, but celebrate the journey as you're getting there, you know, if that makes sense.
Mm.
But I take every day as it comes, you know, and I don't rush things. I just look forward to every day being blessed to try it again and get it right.
Mm. That's good, Michonne. That's really good. You have a brand new single out right now titled Something About You. Please tell us all about it and how this song came about before we play it live on air for our listeners around the world at the end of this interview soon.
Wow, Something About You came about. I was thinking about the music that's out there now, and there's a lot of songs that portray to, you know, a lot of the, I would say younger generation, but for those that are 30 and up, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's not a lot of songs that celebrate the seasoned mature man, you know? And when
mm-hmm.
I thought about
yeah.
that, I thought about, you know, I think I got something in me to celebrate the seasoned man, you know, that man who is now of a mature level, you know, the maturity is there and they know who they are, you know, they're confident in themselves
mm-hmm.
and, they're not trying to be youthful. They're not trying to go back to the younger days, but they're comfortable in their own skin and they're comfortable in their life, you know, at a mature age. And that's what the song is about, you know, so smooth, so cool, salt and pepper goatee, signs of your maturity. Those are some
yeah.
of the lyrics to that song. So that's where I was going with that. That's exactly where I was
mm-hmm.
going. It's actually one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, it's such a great record, and I'm excited that we're going to be playing it soon for our listeners.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So what else are you currently working on?
Wow, well, we're currently working on another project for next year, and I've got several duets that are coming up with a few different artists. And still writing every day. I've got, thankfully, we're blessed to say that we're just about booked for the end of the year and already have a full calendar for 2019. So performing, just getting the word out about the music and spreading the message of love on a continual basis is what my mission is right now, and I'm enjoying the journey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Great. And how can people book you for upcoming events, performances, or collaborations?
Well, my website, www.michonneyoung.com, certainly through Elvira PR, is the best way for bookings and contact. But I personally
mm-hmm.
respond, and we're checking my website. We have this and so forth there. If there's interest, inbox for Instagram, Facebook, at Michonne Music on both Twitter. And we always respond on a daily basis. So that's the best way to reach
mm-hmm.
you.
Wonderful. So I want to thank you so much to the incredible Michonne Young. I want to have you introduce your brand new single, Something About You, so we can play it for our listeners all around the world.
Well, thank you again so much for having me, and thank you for playing my new single, Something About You. It's smooth, it's sassy, it's something that I think your listeners will hopefully enjoy, and I so appreciate it. Here it is, Something About You. Here we go.
Are you looking for a dynamic musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular charitable and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com. That's SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com to book her for your next event or project.
Do you or your organization have dreams and aspirations of going to the next level? In need of a proven process that will both motivate and empower you to activate transformational strategies? If you answered yes, contact me, Ramsey J. Jr. at RamseyJJr.com. My strategic communication consultancy leverages my Wall Street financial executive experiences to deliver my 3P process mastery methodology, possible, probable, predictable. As author of the book, Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers, we deliver solutions as a strategic communication consultant and trainer, executive leadership coach, and international keynote motivational speaker, MC, and interviewer. And with a robust client list from C-suite corporate executives to youth seeking a blueprint to become tomorrow's rising stars, we know how to empower you, the dreamer, to become an achiever. Contact us at RamseyJJr.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christian Olivares, and you're listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Keep on listening.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Our next segment of the night is a Mind Right, Game Tight with Michelle Morgan. Join published author, speaker, and transformational sports coach Michelle Morgan as she shares inspirational stories of athletes who use the power of their mind to take their game to the next level in sports and in life. Hashtag Mind Right, Game Tight to ask her your questions and join in the conversation.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Mind Right Game Tight Show. This is Michelle Morgan. I'm a transformational sports coach, and what that means is I work with student athletes on the mindset, so that mindset skill set, be reach your full potential in sports and in life as well. Also an author of How Youth Triumph in Sports, Tools That Create a Triumphant Life, and that is available on my website and Amazon as well. It's a life skills book. Well, that goes again with all the traits and skills that we learn with playing sports to be reach our full potential in sports and using those tools and traits to be great in life, because we're going to spend a lot more time in life doing sports. My website is vidaesoro.com. Today's guest is Kim Pulido. She is a former student athlete as well, also still continues to play basketball. She is also a basketball coach and an owner of her own training facility. So welcome, Kim, to the show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to get into, going back when you were a student athlete and just asking, like, is there something that you learned from that experience, may it be adversity, that you may have overcome that now you use and made you a better player? But not only that, made you better in life as well, now that you also coach basketball and also now that you're a business owner.
Yeah, I've been talking about this a lot lately with my basketball players. It's just, when you get to college, you had just come from high school where you're the star of wherever you came from. So I went from being the captain of a basketball team my entire life and just being used to leading on the court. And so when I got to college, I realized that we were all the best of where we came from. And I found myself constantly on the bench, and I couldn't figure it out. And at the time, I didn't realize what this was going to mean for my entire life. But I found myself struggling with my identity as a ball player, which kind of trickled into my identity as a person. And for the first time, I couldn't lead in the middle of the action. I had to lead from the bench. And what that has really taught me was just being okay with the process and where you're at and doing your best with where you're at and encouraging getting other people involved for a bigger picture. And so now being a basketball coach of a winning team, there are a lot of players that don't even get to see court time. And I feel for them because I can see it in their face. They're confused as to, do they have a purpose or do they have a role on the team? And I'm constantly reminding them that, we're nothing without the encouragement from the bench. And that's such a huge role. Also, it's just like that 2 or 3 minutes that you get to go in a game is an opportunity to spark the team. And it's the only way you can do that is by keeping a positive mindset and buying into your role. So I think that's huge. I've seen a shift in mentality with the ball players, and a lot of them last year going through that transition, going through that struggle of being okay with being on the bench. And actually some of them are finding themselves this year getting about 15 minutes of playing time a game because they've now bought into being a positive player and having the right body language and then also making the most out of practices. And I think the head coach has really noticed right now I'm assisting because I just opened my own gym and it takes me away from, fully coaching them. So yeah. And then, also with the gym, it's taught me to be super relentless, just working hard even when no one notices, being at home, working hard on the computer, doing research and doing all that I need to for my clients without them really knowing and being okay without them knowing and just getting to, reap the benefits of me taking the time to do so. So yeah, it's led me to open my own facility by just caring for other people and putting myself on the back burner a little bit. So now that I look back, I'm so glad that even happened to me because it was just, I probably would have grown up with an entitled attitude, honestly, because I always got to be a starter for I don't know what reasons, And so now I think that's really taught me how to kind of grind it out and just be a better person for other people.
And so how did you get to that point mentally where you almost said like kind of trust the process? So if I'm a player and I'm, watching this and I'm listening to you and it's like, yeah, easier said than done to like all of a sudden I'm sitting on the bench or, those times you're like, I know I should be in the game. I should be playing right now. Like I'm seeing what's going on, whatever, on the court or the field. And it's like, why am I not in? And so what is that? How did you create that mindset?
Honestly, I went through a crazy point in my life where I got a really bad injury and it really took me away from basketball altogether. And I think I had so much time to reflect of like, where am I at now and how did I get here, And so when I'm talking to my basketball players, I think the biggest thing for them is relating with them, and kind of letting them know, okay, I know what you're feeling right now. Like I explained to them exactly how I was feeling when I was in their position, but just sharing my testimony has really helped them. Now I know they're not fully grasping it, but it's like, I see some of them doing it. So I guess the mental shift is when you actually sit down to reflect on your life, and some of them are starting to already reflect like, all right, so, when I don't have energy during practice or energy on the bench, the rest of the bench doesn't have energy. And those are the games that we really didn't do well in. For them, it's just, again, me just kind of relating my story to them. They all know about my success and what led me there. And I always bring it back to that time in college. But again, it was during my injury when I was really stripped of basketball that I had time to sit down and reflect. And another thing is when that happened, I spent more time with my family and I realized that I wasn't doing that when I was playing basketball. I was so consumed by just being on that court and not realizing that it was bigger than that. So I think, again, it's just that mental shift is when I had the time to reflect. And I try to preach that to my players is just kind of reflect on where you're at in life and what led you there and what are the positives of it instead of focusing fully on the negatives.
Yeah. And then did you get to a point where you got more playing time or did that transpire?
It was a junior college. I only had 2 years, right? So you don't get a whole 4 years to prove it to the coach. But no, like the first year that I got there, I was so confused. I mean, the first game I played really, really well. And then every game after that, I barely saw the court. And, I called a meeting with the coach. I thought it was a good meeting and nothing changed. And I said, okay, I have a decision here. Do I quit or do I keep going? And I realized I never quit anything in my life. I got to work hard. I got to work harder. So, I mean, I was training so hard over the summer. I got my, my shooting percentage up and, preseason was having great practices, had a high shooting percentage and just playing really great defense, getting encouragement from the teammates and still found myself on that bench. And it was just like, okay, do I cry about it or do I represent myself as a person and as a player to the fullest? And I realized that was the only thing I can control. And then that goes into controlling the controllables, which is another thing I always preach to my players. And I'm currently training a ball player who's in college and experiencing the same thing I did. And she worked really hard this summer and she's like, I'm just confused. And then all I could tell her was, encourage your teammates if that's the only thing you can control and work hard because you can't always control the result, but you can control how you deal with the process.
You know, I think back to even when I played and I still talk about like the people that were on the bench or who maybe didn't get all the playing time. they really are the ones who, like, keep the team uplifted, because when things are going well, they're the ones who are like, you got it, you can do it. Like, and even though people are coming off the court, like, mad and upset, or like, oh, I can't believe I missed that or whatever. And it's like, they're the ones who are like the motivational, like, coaches on the team, you know, and so empowering, and it's important to have that. And also knowing that sometimes for me, it's like, I know I'm not going to be the best at everything I do. But like you said, it's also like, what is it? What can I learn from this process?
Yeah.
It might not have anything to do technically with basketball itself, but maybe another area in my life is what I'm learning to implement this in. So that's really important and positive. And so, like, now working with your basketball team that you have, and you said, like, these girls are, like, you know, doing great and you're on a winning team. How do you help them train the mindset as well?
You know, I watch a lot of motivational speakers. One of the main ones that I watch is a guy by the name of Joshua Metcalf, who is a mental coach at UCLA. And I'm already trying to implement something that I wish I had when I was younger. And just, you know, he relates life a lot to basketball, and it's teaching them that whatever they make out of this season, whatever they make out of playing on this team, is going to affect them their entire life. And if they don't start training their mind, then they won't be able to execute anything they've ever learned. And I tell them, I said, you know, aren't there some games that you dribble the ball off your foot or, like, hit your teammate in the back of the head? These are things you don't practice. We don't ever practice those things, but they still happen. What is your mind? What were you thinking that day? Were you having a bad day? Like, I have them think about those things, and then I have them think about, you remember that game where you just felt so unstoppable? Like, what was it? What was it that caused you to feel that way? And if you don't know, the next time you're having a good game, think about it and immerse yourself in that. And, you know, it's just using methods of a lot of the motivational speakers that kind of got where I want to be in life. And just another thing that I've learned is the importance of mentorship, whether it be somebody you actually know, whether it be a book, or whether it be, again, a motivational speaker online. And I, you know, I tell them all the time, they're kids, but, you know, if nothing else is working for you, just try what I'm telling you right now and see what it does for you. And again, a lot of them have really bought into that, and no one cared enough about the bench when I was in high school, or in college, or anything. It was just about the starters and it was about the superstars. But I think for me as a coach, it's so much more important for me to help those that feel invisible. And honestly, again, we're a winning team. We, as a coaching staff, talk about all the time, we wouldn't be where we're at without that bench, you know, without the whole team. And so that encourages them mentally as well. But yeah, I think it's really important that they practice kind of, you know, how to get motivated and how to stay motivated and how to be in a positive space, because that's the only time you can execute anything.
Yeah. And then when you talk about, like, you know, those people that sometimes feel invisible, you know, whether if it's in a team or just anywhere in general, like, what is your, like, advice or recommendation to those people? Maybe they don't know if there's someone out there in the mentorship. So what's your advice for them?
Well, it's funny because with my training business, if you ever look at my clientele, it's such a diverse group, and I tend to attract the ones that in life have felt invisible, which is crazy. So for me, it's just, again, it's just reading books and listening to speakers, and when they're by themselves, it's the best time to think. When they're by themselves, it's like, okay, let's focus on my purpose in life. Let's focus on that. Shift your mind in the direction that you want to be in, instead of focusing on, is anybody even watching? You know, and it's like, you think about a play, you know, the show doesn't happen without the people in the backstage, the people who are technically invisible because no one sees them. Think about how important they are, you know, and think about the difference that you can make in this world and in your community and in your family by just focusing on bettering who you are as a person, and not so much, again, needing to be surrounded by a lot of people and by people, you know, complimenting you, rewarding you, or whatever. It's like, at the end of the day, you have yourself, and you should be your biggest fan, you know?
Yeah, so it goes back to, like, self-love, self-worth, you know? How we feel about ourselves is how we're going to project ourselves out there. And regardless of sometimes people see it or say something or not, people are always watching. you know, definitely are always taking note of that. But the most important part is to love yourself and, you know, remind yourself, get a notebook out, a journal, and write down, you know, what is it that you love to do? What would you love to see yourself doing? And think about those things and think about how that would make you feel and write down those emotions as well. And it goes back to the part, like you were talking about with visualization, you know, and like, how did you feel during that great game? And so it's going back to how you would feel in doing those things, because that's that internal motivation, because everything really does come from within. Like, I can't make Kim act. Kim has to move her arms and her mouth and her legs to do everything. So it's really important, but of course it's also like having that great support system and mentorship that you're talking about as well. But moving forward and opening your own business, like how has that process been? Because like we just talked about like visualizing your goal, what are you happy doing, and you know, those things. So how did this process happen, and you know, what have you learned, and what has made you like great in actually pursuing it and seeing it come to fruition throughout all the things that you've learned?
Okay, I'm excited to share this story because it's something, one of my favorite things to share. Last year around, I want to say October, November, was about 6 years into the business, and I was really tired. I kind of just broke down. The business is competitive. It's a male-dominated industry, and it's about hustling every minute of every day, because, you know, you get two or three clients and all of a sudden you can almost afford a car and all these things. And then again, if you lose those clients, it's like your whole life shifts, you know? And I got tired of that roller coaster, and I just kind of broke down, and I hit the ground, and I started like applying for a big box gym again. I was like, forget this business. I'm just going to go back where they can just hand me clients. And then the computer froze on the very last page of the freaking application, and it didn't go through. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this as a sign. What the heck? And then I just kind of closed my eyes, and I heard a voice in my head that said, stay underwater for as long as you need to. And when it's time to come up, it's time to come up. But what have you done everything in your power to make sure that this business is going to be successful? And I found myself saying, no, you don't ever complete what you say you're going to complete. So try completing everything. And then if it doesn't work out, then you can go reapply. And so what I mean by that is I have this ability to mentor other people into things that I want to get done. I can mentor them into it. They'll get it done, and I get to watch them succeed, you know? And so I actually took a board out, a whiteboard, and wrote out a paragraph, an agreement that I'm going to make to myself. And it talked about, you know, I'm going to get a building, and I'm going to create this vessel for people to feel loved and to have a place for young trainers to get mentored. And then I signed it. And then I said, okay, well, how am I going to get there? So I started writing everything down, marketing. What do I need to do for marketing? What kind of groups do I want? And so I created this board, and I put it in my living room, and I stared at it every day. And I wasn't necessarily reading it, but I was like soaking it in. And then after that, I put it away. And I wasn't doing a checklist thing at all. It was just, I was just doing it, and I wasn't paying attention. And another thing is, when you first become a trainer, you're super hungry, and you do everything you possibly can to make your clients happy. And I said, what if I tried that again? What if I actually did everything I could possibly do for every last client, no matter if I have 5 clients or 20 clients, like really just immerse myself in caring for them to the fullest. And then that whole thing that my mom always told me was, take care of your clients, care for them like they're your family, and they'll take care of you as their family in return. So I really kept that in my head, and next thing you know, the clients just started flowing in. And I said, okay, we're on a roll now, you know, like don't slip up. Make sure you're constantly studying. Make sure you're constantly doing every little thing that you can to make sure they feel loved and important. Now, that made them fall in love with the process, and that made my clients really passionate about me. And so what happened was they started really going out there and marketing for me. And next thing you know, I had to start these groups because I just didn't have enough time to do private training anymore. Started with one group. They kept asking, hey, you're going to do another one? I said, sure, why not? Go find me some people and we'll go ahead and start another group. And next thing you know, I'm training groups 5 days a week. And this literally all happened from last winter until now. In October, my client grabs me and she shakes me and says, you need to get your own freaking place already. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go check out some buildings. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I almost quit last year and you want me to get a building now, like, I guess. And so October 1st, I walked into this building and I just, like, you just know. it's like falling in love with a person. You just know that this is it. This is what I want. And so I just took a leap of faith and, you know, told the landlord, this is what I want. I want this many months of free rent. I want this and this and that, thinking I have nothing to lose. And next thing you know, I get all the deal points I want and have the keys by November 1st. And then the process begins. And I'm like, where the heck am I going to get all this money to start this gym? Now I need equipment, you know? And for the first time, my dad felt like, okay, she's ready, you know? And so with his help and with clients just donating, honestly, tons of money, I'm like, what the heck? Why do you love me so much, you know? And it's just, again, you treat them like family, they're going to treat you like family as well. And so I would have never been able to do this without them. And so now I have this up and running facility and, you know, over 20 members signed up in the past 3 weeks. And I didn't even open it up until January 1st and didn't even tell anybody about the facility until Christmas. And it's already happening, you know. And again, last year I almost quit at the same time and now I have my own facility. And so what it came down to was, again, control the controllables. It's super important. Have the right mentors in your life to tell you, you know, keep this going. And then self-reflection, just sit there, close your eyes and think about, how did I get here? Where do I want to go? And what are the steps that I need to take to get there? Because a lot of times we already know the answer. We're just looking outside for those answers because it's just easier to ask someone else instead of just dealing with it yourself.
What did you learn most from this process? From like being saying, I want to quit, I want to fill out a job application, to, okay, I'm going to do it again. And, you know, being here where you're at.
Just, again, controlling the controllables, but just being relentless. I mean, I think every athlete learns that. Like, the game isn't over until the buzzer goes off. It's just, you have to be relentless. You have to have faith. You have to be patient. And you have to really lose yourself in the process. And not worry about the result and when it's going to happen for you. Just doing everything you can to make the most out of that process. And then sometimes, you know, you got to realize that you'll climb up the wrong ladder. And just because you spent years climbing up that ladder doesn't mean it's the right one for you. Sometimes it's okay to crawl back down and go up the right one. You know, there's plenty of times, like in my business, that I tried all these different avenues within it that was never meant for me. But I was like, I can make money doing this and I can make money doing that. And I was just like, I was so invested into that. And I was like, but is that what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? And so again, it's okay to fall down and start over. You're going to do that, especially if you're trying to open your own business, but just be relentless no matter what.
Yeah. And I think it's not even about opening a business. It's about our own lives. Like, there's going to be times where we fall down and it's like, we still got to get back up because there's so many components that make up our life. Like, we do have business, but then there's family, there's friends, there's your health and wellness. Like, there's all these different sorts of things. Yeah. So I want to thank you, Kim, for being on the Mind Right Game Tight Show. I appreciate everything that you shared, your journey, lots of stories, but it's great to see, you know, how things come full circle. So it's great to hear you share your story because I learned something from it as well. So thank you. And then one last thing before you go, you just have to finish this sentence. I am grateful for.
Our next segment of the night is Empowering Dreamers with Ramsey J. Jr. Join entrepreneur, financial executive, strategic communication consultant, international motivational speaker, executive leadership coach, and published author Ramsey J. Jr. as he reveals his 3 P's, possible, probable, predictable, a one-of-a-kind process-driven methodology which provides a blueprint focused on how to master the process to achieve your personal and professional goals. Hashtag Empowering Dreamers to ask him your questions and join in the conversation.
Keep dreaming and good evening to you. This is Ramsey J. Jr. and I am your able host for the most empowering 15 minutes on radio today, also known as the Empowering Dreamer segment on the Sade Champagne Show. Now, if you're listening to this, you should be asking yourself, what makes this man make this claim that this is the most empowering 15 minutes on radio today? Friends, I'm glad that you asked. It is my belief that you or your organization have dreams and aspirations of going to the next level, but perhaps not quite sure how to get there, and more importantly, are in need of a proven process and methodology that will both motivate and empower you to activate transformational strategies right now with the resources you have access to right now. And that, my friends, is exactly what I am here to do by sharing the Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers methodology, which is underwritten by the 3 P's of empowerment that I subscribe to: possible, probable, and predictable. all three detailed and captured in my book bearing that title, Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers, a 10-year exploration and research to tell you how to actually make that dream you think about become a reality. Live your life without fear and limitations. Here on this Empowering Dreamers segment, I'm going to provide multidimensional examples of empowerment, but most importantly, you're going to be able to translate these lessons and these tools into your own personal empowerment activation program. That is empowerment when you can do it after you're told how. And that's what these next 15 minutes are about. I encourage you to follow along using the hashtag Empowering Dreamers. If you hear something you want to tweet and share, tag me along with that. My symbol is at Ramsey J. Jr. And my website for more information about me is simply RamseyJJr.com. Let's get going. A little bit about who I am. Yes, it is true. I'm a Wall Street trained finance executive, renowned international motivational speaker, strategic communication consultant, interviewer, executive leadership coach. And it's true, I graduated from Fresno State, where I was also a Division I track and field athlete. Yes, I earned an MBA from the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. Yes, I spoke at the White House. But before all that, and through all of that, I was and continue to be a dreamer with visions of things that I love to do. I grew up in Ventura, California as an only child. And tell me if you might have heard something like this. If you dream it, you can do it. If you dream it, you can do it. A very well-intentioned rhetoric, my friends. But how many of you know this to be true? It is one thing to tell someone to have a dream, but it is fundamentally something different to be able to empower someone to realize a dream. I believe in telling you to have a dream. I'm a bigger believer of empowering you to actually be able to realize that dream. That's the methodology that I've subscribed to my entire life. Now I'm here to teach it to you. Secondly, what about role models? At each step along the way of the journey that I told you that I've achieved, the milestones that I've been able to activate in my life, I always got to the next level and said, oh my goodness, there's the role models I've always been looking for. But how do you actually be able to put yourself in a position to emulate what they've done so you can not only follow in their footsteps, but how about having a dream of actually doing greater things than someone that you emulate? Effective role modeling strategies, effective empowerment campaigns, the well-intentioned rhetoric, if you can dream it, you can do it. How about we empower you how to do it? That's what we're going to do here. This is Ramsey J. Jr. speaking to you, host of the Empowering Dreamers segment, the most empowering 15 minutes on radio today, coming to you right here on the Sade Champagne Show. To begin our show, I like to start with a shot of wisdom, inspirational phrase to get your mind in the empowerment principle that we need it to be in. Today's shot of wisdom is the following. We do ourselves a disservice when we suggest that change is easy. Realizing a challenging goal is always much harder than you imagine. There are agents in the world who do not want you to change. The worst thing that you can do is to believe that what you desire will fall at your feet. Friends, it will not happen. You will not experience transformative change or realize an extraordinary dream without unrelenting effort. Occasionally, you will fail, but if you anticipate the journey to be rife with challenges, you will get back up and eventually prevail. I like to say it like this. A setback is a setup for a comeback if you get up. Here, we will always get up. There's your shot of wisdom for tonight. Now, let's get into the body of our show. Our body of the show will introduce the 3 P's methodology and then give you actual practical applications and then an empowerment assignment for you to be able to activate it in your own life. Let's begin with the first P. Remember, there are three: possible, probable, predictable. Each action item has a word in front of it to help you remember what to do. The first, believe that it is possible. The second, work to make it probable. The third, prepare to make it predictable. Tonight, we're focusing on the first P, believing that it is possible. Possible. Believe that it is possible. I'd like to take you back to my own childhood to give you a practical application of this framework. Ebony Magazine was my dream empowerment tool of choice. Growing up as an only child in Ventura, California, I had dreams and aspirations of wanting to do something significant and great in my life. And Ebony magazine would come to my home. My mom had a subscription, and I would get that magazine, and in it would show people who were doing extraordinary things in the world that looked like me, and they went out and did all these great things. And I used to get that magazine, and let me tell you what I said. I said one word, friends. I said, someday. I said, someday, someone like me, someone from where I'm from, can go out and do what I see these people doing someday. I used to look at one particular issue, the 30 Young Leaders in America. They featured 30 young people who they said would be the next rising stars in this country in a number of fields, a number of industries. And I used to get that magazine, I used to cut out pictures, and I said, someday I believe it is possible for me to be one of those 30. And wouldn't you know, fast forward a few years later, February 2007, that magazine came out, and on the cover, it had the President Barack Obama, the First Lady Michelle Obama, and 30 young leaders. And wouldn't you know, the host of this Empowering Dreamer segment on the Sade Champagne Show, Ramsey J. Jr., was one of those 30 under 30 in the magazine. Why? Because I sat there right where I was, despite who I didn't know, despite what assets I might not have had, despite the resources I might not have had, and I still said, I believe it is possible for me to one day be one of those 30. If I did not believe it was possible when I was young, many of the things that I now tell you are possible for you to do because I did them would have never come true for me, and more importantly, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that you can make them come true. We have got to believe that our dreams are possible. If we don't, we need not proceed. Believe that it's possible. Second practical example, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine. Her name is Dr. Chidima Chima Melton. She is currently at the UCLA Medical Center, where she is a board-certified pulmonologist focusing on lung disease. But before she was a sought-after healthcare physician and doctor at UCLA, she was born in Nigeria, moved to England, studied computer science, did excellent in school, ultimately came to New York, and worked on Wall Street as an investment banker. And she was a good investment banker, but it wasn't her passion. She realized that she enjoyed volunteering at St. Luke Roosevelt Hospital in Manhattan, and she would go and spend time with patients, and she loved it, and began to think, maybe my real career calling isn't in investment banking and finance after all. Maybe it's in healthcare. You know what? Maybe it's actually possible for me to believe about becoming a doctor, even though I've gone to school to become a banker / computer science, and I'm working on Manhattan at a great firm doing good, but it's not what I want to do. Is it really possible for me to make a career transition right here, right now? She said, I believe it is possible. Dr. Chidima Melton, before she was Dr. Chidima Melton, went down to her office and she believed it was possible. So much so that she went to Google and she typed into Google, do it with me, how do I become a doctor in America? Hit return. Of course, the screen populated with a number of search engine results. She figured out about something called the MCAT. She ended up taking the MCAT. She ended up going to Stony Brook Medical School. She ended up completing her residency at Yale. And today, she is Dr. Chidima Chima Melton at UCLA Medical Center, focused on lung disease, treating patients. But what if Chidima Chima Melton would have sat at that investment firm on Wall Street and said, I do not believe, I don't know anybody that's a doctor, I don't know anybody that's made this kind of transition, I don't know anybody that's walked away from computer science and investment banking and typed into the internet, Google, how do I become a doctor in America, and I don't know anybody who went back and did the MCAT and then went to Stony Brook and then went to Yale, but you know what she said? I believe it is possible. Friends, hear me when I say, the number one principle I want you to get out of this Empowering Dreamers segment today is the belief in your mind that it is possible. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. Don't mean it'll happen right away. It does mean if we believe it can, we can go to the next step. Believe that it's possible. Just like your host did with his Ebony magazine, just like Dr. Chidima Melton did when she was working as an investment banker in Manhattan in New York, now she's a top doctor at UCLA. This is the Ramsey J. Jr. segment, Empowering Dreamers, on the Sade Champagne Show. Stay with me. Now, it's great to tell you that you can do it. Now, it's important for you to get today's empowerment assignment. We always will give you an assignment to do to help you be able to make this dream a reality. 3 steps to tonight's empowerment assignment, should you choose to accept it, which I know you will. Number one, I want you to virtually unpack your dream. What does that mean? I want you to take as much time as you need to identify one thing that at one point in your life was so significant to you, you just knew you weren't going to be able to go on in your life without pursuing that one thing. Yet, for some reason, perhaps legitimate, perhaps for very real reasons, it was derailed, it was denied, it was redirected, ultimately it was suspended. And again, perhaps for very legitimate reasons, I understand life happens academically, professionally, socially. I'm not interested in what caused it to be derailed. What I'm more interested in is you going back and reclaiming that virtual idea and putting it back in the virtual forefront of your mind. Identify one thing that at one point in your life was a dream of such significance you just couldn't get it out of your mind. Go back and virtually unpack that one thing. Part one of the assignment. Part two, now that you virtually unpacked it, I want you to physically unpack it. What does that mean? I want you to identify tangible examples that put that virtual idea into a tangible reality. I want you to find magazines, photographs, videos, websites, ticket to conferences, shirts, banners, anything that you can actually touch and feel that takes that virtual dream from now being put at the forefront of your mind. Now I want a tangible asset that makes it go from a virtual idea to a tangible idea. If you kept notes, if you kept journals, if you have files on your computer, print them out, go resource them again. I want tangible evidence that make you believe that that virtual idea, it's actually a reality. It's actually something that I can touch and I can feel. Physically unpack after you virtually unpack. Now, after you have virtually unpacked it and you physically have unpacked it, it is now what I call ID your accountability partner. What does that mean? I want you to identify one person in your circle of trust and go to them and say, you know what? I got this crazy idea. You're not going to believe it, but I'm actually thinking about, and I want you to fill in that blank with that virtual idea that you now have physically unpacked and tell them that you're thinking about pursuing it. That is IDing your accountability partner, somebody that's going to keep you accountable to keeping that idea alive, not just virtually alive, and not just a tangible piece of evidence, but now you and I, accountability partner, we're going to talk about it. Your empowerment assignment, should you choose to accept it, virtually unpack your dream, physically unpack it, ID your accountability partner. Now, we close the show. This is Ramsey J. Jr., and you are listening to Empowering Dreamers on the Sade Champagne Show. Tonight, we have introduced you to the 3 P's methodology of possible, probable, predictable, and we've unpacked the first P of believing that it's possible, giving you an example from Ebony Magazine and how I did it, how Dr. Chidima Melton did it at UCLA. Now you have a virtual assignment to do it yourself, to virtually unpack, physically unpack, and ID your accountability partner. Do your work. Believe that it can happen. We believe in empowering dreamers. This is Ramsey J. Jr. Empowering dreamers to become achievers is what we do right here on the Sade Champagne Show. I hope you've enjoyed our show tonight. I look forward to visiting with you next week and hearing how you have empowered yourself. Until then, keep dreaming.
Do you know of a young adult who has a passion for playing sports and who is determined to reach their full potential as an athlete? Hi, my name is Michelle Morgan, and I'm a transformational sports coach, speaker, author, and founder of Vida S. Oro. I earned a college basketball scholarship, and my purpose is to empower young athletes to reach their full potential in sports and in life. I wrote the book, How Youth Triumph in Sports, Tools That Create a Triumphant Life, for young athletes to know the valuable tools that make players great, but most importantly, all those tools that they're learning to carry over to create a triumphant life. My book is available on Amazon.com, Or you can also go to my website at vidaesoro.com. That's www.vidaesoro.com. You may also reach me at youthsports@vidaesoro.com to find out more information with working with young athletes.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 73 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and sharing my radio show. Next week, we have a brand new Say What segment and a new Empowering Dreamer segment with Ramsey J. Jr. Thanks to my special guests, Mashawn Young, and castmates Michelle Morgan and Ramsey J. Jr. I'm Sade Champagne, and thanks for listening to my radio show. I don't ever take your support for granted. We'll see you next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, right here on Grindhard Radio. Releasing the stress, we were born to shine.